Hello and welcome back to Sporth Wrestling, the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson and today I'm joined by a very special guest, a man who is a two-time US champion, a one-time tag team champion and 39-time and current 24-7, 48-7, 7-11, I-95 champion, R-Truth. What's up?
Michael, what's up? Dog, I like that introduction, dog. I might have to bring you along with me to give me that formal introduction when I have a match. But I don't need no matches right now, man. When I have a match, people are trying to take my baby from me. We ain't trying to hear that right now.
No, we don't want that. But I'll have to take it. It took me a while to rehearse it, but I got it in the end. We'll start with the 24-7 title straight away. How have you found the 24-7 title run?
I love it. I love it, man. The 24-7 championship has put me in Forbes magazine. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's not... It's not a wrestling magazine, so it's like this 24/7 is like a spider web, man. It's reaching and connecting with all walks of celebrities, man, all walks of entertainment. I love it.
And what's the sort of creative process behind it? Is it sort of you pitching ideas or them giving you ideas, amending it, etc.?
It's both. I'm coming up with ideas with like the wedding, the golf course. We both just spitball and we see what sticks.
And picking up on 2 points you mentioned there, there's been a lot of locations for title changes involving yourself. We've got the golf course, airplanes, wedding, a hotel room, a waiting room. You're a doctor. What's been your favorite and why?
Michael, I get asked that a lot, man, and I can't pick one favorite. It's almost like eating Lay's potato chips. You can't just pick one. You're going to keep eating and eating. You know what I'm saying? I put myself and throw myself into this work, man, into like entertaining my fans, putting them on that emotional roller coaster, man. So it's like, it's hard for me to pick one great moment because every one that I've done, I've enjoyed. And the numbers don't lie.
And I suppose that is the best thing about it. You're entertaining fans, you're giving fans great enjoyment from it. Well, one segment that I particularly enjoyed because it involves someone who we've interviewed recently and is from over here in England is Drake Maverick. What was it like working with him, obviously, the whole wedding angle?
I would say that among all the other superstars, Drake Maverick was the one that, and I told him, I said, dude, that's part of this business is to like see it, reach for it, grab it, hold on and ride. And once the 24/7 championship came into effect, man, Drake was the first one that like, you know what, I want to be a part of this. And he was coming up, he was pitching ideas and he's also entertaining. And you have to have that entertainment aspect of wrestling to be a wrestler in this business. And I think Drake Maverick has that.
And just looking at particularly the honeymoon aspect, whose idea, who came up with that?
That was my idea. Yeah, I want the honeymoon. We would sit around and just throw ideas out, man. And the instant someone laughs at an idea, we're doing that.
And obviously, Drake is one of many people you worked with in your time at WWE. You've had Kofi Kingston, you're a tag team champion with him. Obviously, worked with Goldust, worked with The Miz in your earlier days, and Carmella as well. How have you found all the different sort of scenarios? Because they're all different levels, some comedy, some more serious.
Each individual I work with, man, they brought their own thing to the table. And they're all unique in their own different creative way. All the way from Kofi to Miz to John Morrison to Drake to Carmella to Eve Torres to like everybody that I've worked with had that special ingredient, and I put my special ingredient, and we made the best cake, the best dessert that you want to eat. You know what I'm saying? And everybody liked it.
And two of us that you worked with 9 years ago now, seems a long time ago, Survivor Series, Mr. John Cena and The Rock. Can you talk a bit about that sort of time period in your career, like how it all came about, what it was like working with them two?
Oh, man, working with Cena and The Rock, I felt that I had reached the pinnacle of my career. I felt that I was there. I remember the moment we were in the ring, Madison Square Garden, and even before we got to the ring, me and Miz was walking to the ring, and we were just looking around. And the moment we got in that ring and the smoke cleared and we looked around and it was a sold out house and we looked across the ring and there was Rock and John Cena, we just looked at each other and gave each other a dap. And it was like, man, congratulations, we're here. We made it to the dance. We were in the ring with two of the biggest icons in his business.
And what was it like working with them, like sort of outside the ring? Were you sort of having like meetings of how it was going to go? Like, how was it? Were they quite accepted to your creativity because you're a very creative mind?
Two of the easiest to work with. And they both wanted to work with us. Me and Miz were really hot at that time as well. And of course, when John Cena and Rock come back, they remain hot. You know what I'm saying? So the combination, man, it worked. Had no problem whatsoever. There was no egos involved. You just had four of the best entertainers in there ready to entertain and put on a show.
And obviously, earlier this year, which again seems a long time ago because it's been such a long year, you made every person in the world laugh with a segment with and made the person laugh, which is very hard to do, Mr. Brock Lesnar. Obviously, Brock, he's very serious, but you had him in stitches with the Paul Heyman line in the Royal Rumble.
I remember, man, when we were talking about it, when they gave me my promo, and they was like, well, we kind of don't want you to go on the promo. We want you to do your thing and make Brock laugh. I said, what? They're like, yeah, we all kind of got a bet that some say you can't, some say you can. We're going to see if you can make Brock laugh. So we're not going to tell Brock what you're going to say. I said, man, I think the Beast needs to know what I'm going to say before I get out. He's like, bro, come on, we got to help us with this bet. And that was the bet, man, to get Brock to laugh. And I knew Brock was going to laugh when the build-up was coming. And I could tell he was like, okay, where is he going with this? I knew I had him once I saw the eye connection, and he looked at me where I was going with it. And when Brock laughed, I did all I could to not laugh with him because the whole moment was there. Paul was there with the facial expression. Brock was there laughing. I was there with the delivery of what I wanted to say, and it was just there. And I did all I could, man, to hold it in. And that was probably like one of my most achievable conquering moments right there, I felt like. And when we got to the back, Brock was still laughing. And he was like, dude, we got to do something together. I don't know how we got to do it, but we have to do something together. It has to work. And, bro, I'll do anything with Brock. And the combination just worked. It just worked.
Was there any further talk of that happening of you versus Brock before the whole pandemic?
There's something me and Brock can do together, man. It's there. I don't know if Brock going to be my bodyguard or he come Debo the 24-7, 48-7 championship from me. There's something there, you know what I'm saying? And I think the fans, our dedicated fans, the universe, will appreciate that.
And just moving to the final part of the interview now, I was reading an article about yourself, from an article you did with Sam Roberts, and you're talking about how much of an influence Vince McMahon's had on your career. Could you just elaborate on that for us?
Vince McMahon has had a tremendous amount of influence on my career, not only as being an entertainer, but being a man, learning business, learning psychology about this business, about being in the ring, outside the ring, doing interviews. I would have these promo classes with Vince. He would have promo in person. And we did these for like months, every week, an hour, 2 hours, we would have these promo classes. And just learning from Vince, man, I think it's fruitful, you know? And I've learned a lot from him as well as watched him the way he moved mentally, the way he moved psychology. It's never a time where you're not learning being around Vince McMahon.
And I believe he paid a fine for you smoking in the O2 Arena over in London?
Yes, I think he paid a couple of times. Yes.
Moving to the final question now. Obviously, you've been around in WWE in your current run for 12 years, but obviously you've been in the wrestling business before that. What is the one thing that you tell yourself when you broke into the wrestling business that you've learned so far? What piece of advice would you give your younger self?
Don't disappoint. And I say that it's real short, but it means so much, man. I feel that myself, my colleagues, as a professional wrestler, as a celebrity, as a public figure, man, don't disappoint when we're outside of the ring, as well as in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Small things. Real quick, small things. I'm driving home yesterday, and in my neighborhood, there's one kid that knows R-Truth lives in the neighborhood. But I'm driving home, and there's a guy that had a pickup truck with like 10, 12, 13 kids in the back of it. And the one kid said, there's R-Truth. Let's go to his house. So by the time I got home, there was like 15 kids, man, on their bicycles, their big wheels, their everything, scooters, and they were just in my driveway. And they just... kids, you know what I'm saying? They're innocent. They just walked all up. Hey, you're on Truth. Hey, how was wrestling? And I can't disappoint them. I can't be a butthole. I can't be disrespectful. They idolize me. I'm bigger than life on TV to them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't think we should disappoint in the ring and outside the ring. I think we should always be what people see and believe in.